Some people have been asking, so Ross, I know Glenn has been starting LCMS Disaster Response, spent last few years doing so much developing the program. What are you going to do since you're the new guy? And I'll talk about that in a minute. So before we begin with that, I want to show you a presentation or a video. It's a brand new video. They just got finished editing it last week. And it's going to be part of the new LERT training. It's one of the embedded videos that will be part of the PowerPoint presentation. So I'll show you what has disaster response been doing, at least nationally, over the last year.
They have lost everything.
Plenty of injuries, lots of destruction.
We don't know what to do, really.
There's no need in going there because there's nothing left.
It's about 15 to 20 homes of LCMS members here in Pensacola that have suffered damage.
We'd like to lift up the congregation in our prayers, and certainly in all that we do, we want to lift them up so that they can be kind of agents of Christ's mercy to the community as the community seeks to respond and move past this really horrific tragedy that has happened.
I've heard a lot about the LCMS disaster response, but I really didn't know what it meant. I've seen the work that they've done. I've seen the response that they've done in other areas, tornadoes and what have you. But truthfully speaking, the work you see being done, but you just don't have that full understanding of what it is.
Pastor, what was your initial thought as you drove in and saw the damage, and how are your members doing spiritually at this moment?
Well, driving in was unreal to see the damage from the road, from Highway 34 as we were coming in. Then when we got to the church, it was good to see the church was still standing. There's a lot of help here. The National Guard is here with us and helping clean up. A lot of people have been in here the last day to help clean up. Really, right now, it's financial help will be as it comes along, and we know what all the damages are.
And so he started flashing SOS to them, and they got the boat. And so he was passing his babies through the hole in the roof to strangers.
Seeing the members of your church here the last couple days helping you box stuff up and offering help and support, it's really neat to see people's faith in actions and not just words.
They are so unselfish and so giving and so caring. It's absolutely amazing.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I ask that you will be with this family, that you will guide them, protect them, that you'll give them wisdom, and then maybe more than anything, a peace that surpasses all understanding.
We've already begun going around to every member's house, making sure that everybody's okay, that their trees or debris, whatever they may have, also needs to be taken care of, and getting to that as soon as possible.
Everybody's been so wonderful to us. The church has been wonderful to us.
He was panicked and he thought he was going to die. And we thought he very well may die. And that was hard. That was real hard. But communications went dark. Lydia and I just looked at her and I said, we need to go to the sanctuary. And we did. And we just knelt, grabbed hymnals, knelt before the altar and opened the hymnal and prayed Psalm 46. Yeah.
But by the time that Pastor Blankshain and his wife Lydia were able to get back home, what they saw was the water line on the wall about 4 feet high.
Henry Casey, we're staying at their home. And he said that he had something to give to us, and he wanted both of us to be there when we opened it up. And he brought over a little G.I. Joe box. He's about 9 years old and already has his life planned out as a SEAL. And we opened it up, and it was all the money he had saved. It was $6.68. He said he wanted us to fix our house with that.
call on me in a day of trouble, I will deliver you. We call, I call, and he sent. The LCMS disaster relief people showed up.
We had to cut our way out of the house. Josh was trying to pull logs and stuff away from the front door so he could get to the garage because we had a chainsaw.
Thanks be to God that in all of these trials that he has kept you safe and brought you through this together. And one of the things that we're going to do over the next day is meet with your pastor and the leadership within your congregation to uphold them and their ministry and see how it is that they can help you guys get through this.
God's helping us all the way.
Some of those disasters probably look familiar because many of you here participated in the response. I know Lutheran Church Charities did. I know Shepherd's Hearts Ministry, Orphan Grain Train, and others of you have responded to those disasters. So, you know, firsthand, the devastation that the floods and that the tornadoes caused. Just as these videos are embedded on this PowerPoint presentation, is going to be how the videos are going to be embedded in the new LERT manual and training. So all that you do is simply click to the next slide. You don't have to go from program to program. It's just click the next button. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible. And there's also going to be some leader's guides notes within the PowerPoint presentation that only the leader would be able to see. So that's just one of the foretastes of what you will find out tomorrow morning with Michael's training. Wanted to go over the disaster response statement, and everybody has told me, what are you going to be doing differently, or what's the future of LCMS disaster response, both in the United States and abroad? And when I was a seminarian here, there was Bishop Patelko. He was a retired English district president, and he was brought on campus to be that wise old man with tons of experience to give us guidance before we went out and possibly made a lot of mistakes so that we could hopefully do a lot of good. And he would just give us a lot of just pastoral heart and pastoral counseling. And two bits of advice really stuck out to me. The first one, he said, when you get to your congregation, make sure that as a new pastor that you love your people. And he said, if you love your people, then you're really going to be passionate about being their pastor, and you're going to go the extra mile, and you're going to care for them in the times of need, and it's going to get you through the hard times as being their pastor, if you genuinely just love your people. The other piece of advice that stuck out, he said, when you go to your new church, make sure for the first year you get to know people. He said, don't do much or change anything unless something's outrageous happening in the church, but otherwise, get to know people. Get to like the people, love the people, see their history, what they've been doing, what's working and what's not working. Well, never did I think I would be ministering outside of the parish context, so I had to take that and put it into this. And so, coming here, the first year, we've pretty much done everything that disaster response has been doing for the last few years, and it's been doing great stuff. And one thing that we are going to keep the same is the LCMS disaster response mission statement, because it's very, very clear and very concise, but it also encompasses a lot of different concepts. LCMS disaster response is focused on sharing moments of mercy that change lives for an eternity through ministry done in close proximity to word and sacrament, through congregational-based disaster response and relief in a cooperative, and coordinated manner with LCMS districts, congregations, worldwide partners, ILC, and other faith-based groups, as well as governmental and non-governmental agencies to meet the needs of those affected by disaster. A few key words, of course, are that we are going to continue to be a congregational-based disaster response ministry. For the very same reasons that you've been hearing all week long, the same reasons that I told you yesterday, that we as the church, we help physically in times of people's needs, but also spiritually. It's part of who we are, giving the light of Christ, being a light of the gospel into this broken and disastrous world. It's one thing that we can offer is that gospel message that comes through our congregations. We have an amazing network of congregations, over 6,000 congregations in the United States alone. So when a disaster strikes, usually there's a Lutheran congregation very close by, which allows us to reach into those communities that are affected and need help. Internationally, we have many national church partners, and you've heard many of the case studies of how we've been able to use them to be merciful to the world around us. Another word that's important to remember is the word collaborative, and I hope that you've been noticing that as well. We collaborate with the ILC. One thing that I might have failed to mention or maybe failed to emphasize, and for sure I did fail to make sure it was on the video, was that the ILC contributed tens of thousands of dollars to the response that was done in the Philippines. It was through that collaborative relationship of us working together, not just ourselves, but now starting to work with other church bodies as one to help out our brothers and sisters in whatever country that is affected. So I very much thank the ILC partner churches that have sacrificially donated to it. I was in Chile a few months back, and they gave me a huge wad of cash to give to the disaster response in the Philippines. And I thought, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get mugged or robbed. But they, a smaller church, contributed greatly. And it was really neat to see how when you're blessed, then the response naturally is to bless others. And it's neat to see mercy and charity developing within the partnership. Now, it's true that there are things that we can't do. You've seen the entire disaster response team. It is myself, Reverend Meyer, and I get half of Aaron because I share him with Carlos. So 2.5 people, we can't do a whole lot, and I realize that. And that's probably a good thing. Being in St. Louis, we don't want to micromanage the disaster response across the United States, but we do want to bring capacity. And as the disaster response program has been growing over the last 8 years, we tried going and doing a little bit of this, tried doing a little bit of that, because there was not really any such thing as a disaster response ministry done. There's no other models to follow. Before the last decade, before the Hurricane Katrina, before what happened in Haiti, before the disaster in Indonesia, there wasn't a standardized practice among Christian denominations or the church. What happened a lot of times is churches would give money to social ministry, or they might partner with Habitat for Humanity to help rebuild or something like that. It's really a focus on social work that President Harrison talked about earlier. And so we've tried a lot of different things, and a lot of things worked really well. But I think sometimes pruning back and focusing, you can do better and more with a little bit less. The four areas of focus, and let me explain what those mean, because I know there's only one or two words, but there's a whole lot of meaning behind them. The four areas of focus are educational materials and resources, training events, synodical capacity, and consultations. And what my goal is to do is to be able to offer something to the Missouri Synod and our international partner churches that would be very difficult for them at a district, at a congregational or circuit level, would be able to do or to copy. The same with our international partner churches. To be able to bring a capacity and an ability to them that might be difficult for them to do with less resources. And when I say resources or capacity, I mean so much more than money, even though that's what often our minds go to. And quite honestly, the one word I don't like very much that's up there is the word consultation, because it seems like kind of a business term. And I'm always trying to stay away from business terms and think of churchly terms. And so I was going through the looking for synonyms and trying to say, what's a better word than consultation? And I couldn't find a better word. But I'll explain what I mean by consultation. So these are the four areas of focus that I really want LCMS Disaster Response to excel in. So So consultation, essentially it means making an assessment of a disaster situation. I spoke yesterday about sometimes when you go to a disaster, or like President Harrison said earlier, you talk to the pastor and everything around him is destroyed and there's a horrible situation going on, and you give him a phone call and you say, "Hey, pastor, how are things going? What do you need?" "I think things are fine. I don't think we need anything." A lot of times when you're overwhelmed by the situation, pastors and circuits need help making an assessment of the situation. Because if you don't make an assessment, you don't know how to start an action plan or what there is to do. LCMS Disaster Response and the staff at the synodical offices has a lot of experience. What works and what doesn't as far as making an assessment, and then how to develop an action plan. Since pastors were not taught in seminary, if a disaster happens that happens exactly just like this, this is the next steps to do. And there's no cookie cutter. And so there's no cookie cutter approach to say every single situation you do this. All that we can do is talk about general principles. And when we make an assessment or develop an action plan, it is not me or anybody coming from the synodical offices saying, "I made an action plan for you that you must follow." We never have done that. And that is not our plan at all, but rather making the assessment is, what are the abilities and the resources within your congregation, the people, the building, the capacity, the size? And then let's look at the disaster. And then how do we respond to the disaster with what our abilities are? So make an assessment, develop an action plan, help you focus on your ministry. And I write that statement with the mindset of the pastor. It is so easy for a pastor to get so overwhelmed with the mechanics of what needs to be done, and he's thinking about the disaster, and he's thinking, "I got to do this all myself, and I have no other resources," that he loses focus of the spiritual care aspect of disaster response. And he gets into all the weeds of money and grants and how to do this or how to do that and micromanaging something. A good assessment of the situation and a good action plan should alleviate the pastor and him being overwhelmed in the disaster response so that he can do what nobody else in that congregation could do. We saw a couple of pictures of Pilgrim, Nebraska, and I mention it because it's the most recent disaster that we've responded to of a large size. And one of the goals is not getting Pastor Maclin caught up in the weeds, which is so easy to do, so he can focus on the big picture. He is the only person in the area, the only LCMS pastor of that church, and nobody else can do what he can do as far as preaching, consecrating, giving pastoral care to his members. And so the action plan, part of it was how to help him focus on word and sacrament ministry and how to utilize his lay people to take care of the needs of the rebuilding of his community and the church itself. Part of what we can do as we are consulting with you in a time of disaster is help tell your story. And telling your story is something that is uplifting and moving, and it uplifts people's faith. We just heard yesterday from Edward Riojas about how touched he was from hundreds of miles away as he was hearing about what was happening in Pilgrim, Nebraska. It's really healthy for other people to hear your struggles and your triumphs in the midst of disaster. And it gets people from around the Synod, around the world, praying for you, wanting to support you financially, with maybe labor, with donated goods, whatever the need is. Telling your story gets resources to you. Like I said, prayer, brothers in Christ, good advice from others. Also, to help you acquire needed funds. Quite honestly, for many action plans, the idea is we want to be able to give gift cards out to our community, or we want to help people rebuild their homes, or we want to help people by buying this or doing that, and that takes funds. And telling the story helps you acquire the needed funds for the recovery process. Last week, I was in a meeting with Reverend Bart Day, who is the chief mission officer of Synod currently, also the executive director of Office of National Missions, and also John Folley, who is the head of Mercy Ministries for the Synod. I only mentioned their titles because we had a very important conversation to clarify something, and it was that if somebody gives a donation to Disaster Response, you write a check and you send it in the mail. Let's say that you want to send it to the disaster that was in Pilgrim, Nebraska, and the response. They assured me that every single dollar that was donated, named for that disaster, will go towards that response. So you can be comforted knowing that if you give money to a named disaster, that money, 100% of it, will go to that named disaster. And that was right from the horse's mouth, and there's nobody that can make a decision higher than them. Another thing that happens in a time of consultation or making that assessment and developing the action plan is giving an objective opinion, whether it's myself, Reverend Meyer, Reverend Folley, Carlos Hernandez, whoever would be helping out with making that action plan, an objective plan, because sometimes you get so caught up and so emotional that it's hard to see the forest from the trees that are right in front of you. And although we are never forceful saying you must do this, a lot of times it's good to get an outside opinion in the midst of a disaster from someone that has experience doing disasters. So hopefully one of my goals is to be able to do consultation and focus on that. The other thing is also DDRCs and pastors. We all kind of chuckled when President Harrison gave the example of the person that's got the blown away church and parsonage and severe damage. Their members are upset. The wife is crying. The children don't have food. And the pastor says, oh, everything's fine. Please do me a favor and do not be that guy. Make my life easier and say, oh, please help. When we come and help in a time of consultation and developing an action plan, we don't charge a dime. It's not an inconvenience. Many people say, oh, we know you're so busy doing other stuff. If I'm calling an offering, please say yes. It'll make my life a whole lot easier. And I know sometimes it's humbling to receive help from others, but that's something that we love to do because we know that it's a need. Synodical capacity. The other area of focus is being able to offer something across districts, across circuits, across congregations. Full use of resources from across the LCMS. So if you need volunteers, we have the capacity to talk to LCC, which does a great job at bringing volunteers at Comfort Dog Ministries. They have a lot of different capacities. We have Shepherd's Heart Ministry. We have the Ohio District that has a lot of capacities. There's a lot of different ways that we can work together. We can put this story out within a matter of minutes on Facebook. We have a subscriber base of over 60,000 people that are subscribing to the LCMS Facebook site. And they can instantly find out what's happening, what the needs are. They can be praying for the disaster that's happening in your area. There's ability also to print stories about what's happening, letting the rest of the church at large know what your needs and can be praying for you. Also with grants, a lot of times people will think, oh, well, our district can help. And a lot of times the district does help. And we do work in collaboration with the district president, of course, whenever we are responding to disasters. It's always done with their full knowledge and their full knowledge of what the action plan is. But we're able to coordinate grants and monies from Ohio, from Alaska, from Florida to your disaster, wherever it is. We can fund those grants to you in an organized way with an action plan. Can I also say with an action plan? It's so important to have an action plan before you start the work or before you get grant dollars. And President Harrison talked about many of the errors that happened during Katrina. And I'll tell you one of the errors because I experienced it. I was a pastor in Fairhope, Alabama, right on the Gulf Coast, right on the Mobile Bay, literally. And after Katrina, the first day that I showed up for my ordination, a district president showed up. And nobody in the congregation knew about it. It was about 6 months after Katrina hit. And he came and told the other pastor, hey, I'm coming, and I want to give the congregation a gift. The other pastor said, great. That's wonderful. So at the beginning of the service, before we said the intro, we called the district president up, and he said, "We just wanted to let you know that we have a gift for you guys to do ministry in your area. Here's a check for $78,500. And we said, "Wow," we were shocked and in awe. We got a very generous gift, but we didn't have an action plan. And although I had an amazingly wonderful church, we had very little infighting. When a check for $87,000 comes to you and the guidance is do great stuff with it in relationship to your community after this storm, there is a million opinions of what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And when you have 200 people with 200 ideas of what is wise stewardship, what is wise use of mercy funds, a lot of times you get 200 opinions. We had that money for literally years, years. And every time we wanted to spend any of that money, there was always a huge debate within, are we being faithful with this money? Was that the intent of the donor? And when we would call for clarification, we got the same answer. Do it for great stuff in your area for disaster response. But I can say this. If somebody said to my church, "I'm coming in 4 hours, I got $78,000, give me an action plan, how you would spend this," I guarantee you, within about 20 minutes, my elders would have sat together, come up with the action plan, we would have used that $78,000, and within a few months, it would have all been spent. Are you guys tracking along with me? When you have a plan in place, it's a lot easier to fund it. When you just have a ton of money, it's really hard to come up with a plan. And we've found that very, very often, more often than not, when congregations or people get overwhelmed with cash, a lot of times there's infighting and bickering and what should the best be use of this be, and should this be used for a building project, should this be used for the community. Being able to give a grant with a plan, we find to be the most successful. Like I said, if the money comes for a named disaster to LCMS disaster response, we will spend that money towards that disaster. Oh, you're not supposed to see this yet. I'm pushing the wrong buttons. So that is the synodical capacity. LERT volunteers, being able to deploy volunteers. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. Educational materials and resources. It's very difficult for a district or a circuit or a congregation to come up with extensive materials to use in times of disaster. That's an area that we have the resources to be able to write and edit and to be able to put materials together for your use in times of disaster. Here's three manuals that we put together this year. We've worked a lot of time on this. The first one that we published was a guide for educators in the midst of disaster. And the idea behind that was we have the second largest parochial school system. And it's great that we have a school system where we can proclaim the gospel, where we can give spiritual care. And so the guide for educators was intended for principals, headmasters, teachers, and pastors of churches with schools so that they cannot... The idea is not so that they can learn how to do a fire drill, because we know every state and county has its own school regulations on how that needs to be done. But what we wanted to do is give guidance spiritually what should be done to prepare before, during, and after a disaster. And then why do we do that as Lutherans? Maybe that's the most important part. Secondly, we wanted to put together a guide for pastors in the midst of a disaster. And I say pastors, but really it could be for any lay person doing spiritual care, one-on-one counseling, and it could also be used for a deaconess or a host of church workers. One thing that we wanted to do here again is to talk to pastors about what to do before, during, and after. And it's really bigger bullet points. And for you guys that have thought about this stuff a lot, it probably isn't a whole lot of new information. However, for 95% of the pastors in the synod, they probably have not thought about this. And so the idea is that this is a quick reference guide to them of what to do, some simple steps that they can do to prepare as a pastor before, during, and after a disaster, and a little bit of the theology of why we do it. One, the best way to use those first two manuals is there's a lot of educators conferences around the United States. There's a lot of pastors conferences. The ideal way is if we could have 30 or 60 minutes during a pastor's conference or an educator's conference to talk to them about this subject of disaster, disaster awareness, mercy in action, and then hand them that manual. Then they are informed, they can read through the manual, or they can put it on their shelf. And then when a disaster strikes, they can say, I remember hearing something about disaster response. I got this manual, let me pull it off. And it's all bullet points. There's no cookie cutter approach. It's bullet points, it's things to consider, things to not do, to be cautious of. The next manual that we have up here is the manual that we'll be giving to you tomorrow. And a year ago, I sensed the same frustration, and I felt the same frustration that I've heard articulated by many of you. We keep getting this new manual every 6 months or every year or so. And I thought that was kind of strange as well. And I thought, if this is a main emphasis that we have, we should be doing this with excellence. Let me also defend Glenn. When you start a program and you write something that's never been written before, there's no other manuals, anything like this, within any other denominations. So when you're starting, you're developing, you're increasing, you're learning, and you're getting feedback from DDRCs that say this works and this doesn't work. So for years, we were updating and changing. And we said, let's stop the insanity now. We are going to spend a year on this project, do it with excellence, put a lot of attention in it. We're going to have it professionally bound. We're not going to have it photocopied and spiral bound. But when you do alert train and it looks like, wow, this is squared away and put together, I'm actually getting something that somebody didn't photocopy and put together. And so we had it professionally bound. And you'll see it'll be very much like the format and the quality of the Mercy in Action for educators and pastors. However, that one will be twice the size. I think it's 160 pages. There's the alert in the front of it. In the back, a lot of the congregational preparedness and a lot of the hands-on stuff. There's a chainsaw manual in it. There's a flood bucket manual. There's how to muck out a house. So we try to make it so that there's one manual. And to make sure that it wasn't tweaked, I bought 5,000 of them. So I got a cheap rate with 5,000 of them. And then secondly, it ensured that we're not going to change it for at least a couple of years. So I also want to make sure that I thank Reverend Michael Meyer. He spent a lot of time on this, ensuring that it was done with quality. He's spent a lot of time putting the PowerPoint presentation together with the embedded videos. And if it wasn't for Reverend Meyer, this would have taken a whole lot longer and probably would not have been done with the same amount of excellence. Other educational materials, and like I said, that this is something that we can do to provide to you guys, to give you the tools, to give you the ammunition. One of the things that we heard and we are putting together is a 4 or 5 part adult Bible study guide. And when I say that, what I'm thinking of is something that you as a pastor or your pastor can use on Sunday morning. Because we hear all this about, oh, I did the alert, and we're really interested. We want the rest of our church to know. They don't necessarily want to do the hands-on stuff, but it would be great for them to know more. What can we give them? Why not a Bible study guide on what is mercy, on maybe some of the points that Reverend Harrison was talking about. He was quoting scripture inside and out. And if I can say on a side note, I wanted to come up and turn this around because there is nothing up here except for his Mercy in Action points and his Greek Bible. All that stuff that he's talking, all the scripture that he was quoting, all the Luther quotes that he was quoting, all the Chemnitz that he was quoting, all the Walther that he was quoting was all in his mind. You can tell that this is something that he has spent so much time and is so passionate about. But getting some of those scriptures into the lives of the LCMS lay members in a Bible study format is what we want to do. I know nobody wants to hear a 4-month series on this. Maybe us because we're really into it. But most people want 4 or 5 weeks, and that would be enlightening to them. And we're going to print that, and we're also going to put it in a PDF format. So it will be up to the pastor or the Bible study leader how they want to do it. But it will be, like I said, a print edition or in a booklet or a PDF downloadable thing. So you could just download it and print it at your own congregation. World Relief and Human Care, if you remember years ago when Matt Harrison started printing little booklets, and some of them are just golden. They're translations of Walther on Mercy, and there's about 20 of them. Michael and I were going through it, and I had a great idea. And whenever I say, hey, Michael, I got a great idea, he's like, oh, no, because it usually means more work. It's kind of like you parish pastors when somebody at the end of service says, hey, pastor, I got a great idea. And you as a pastor think, good, so I hope you do it. Because it's always, hey, pastor, I got a great idea for you, right? So I was telling Michael, hey, I got this great idea. And then I said, but don't worry, you're not going to have to do anything with it. So all of a sudden, his countenance kind of perked up, and he said, oh, okay, great, what is it? And it was a lot of those mercy and a lot of those mercy booklets that President Harrison had put together years ago have kind of gone into disuse, and they still have the old World Relief and Human Care. So what we want to do is put together about 10 of those that are apropos for what we're doing in disaster response on charity and mercy, put all those together in one volume, along with a few new booklets that we'll all have in one volume. And of course, we're going to make these free of charge to you as DDRCs to be able to have for yourself, and we'll give you extras to give to other pastors that are interested in this. One of the things about the capacity that we bring is we're not trying to make money off of any of this, and we have a great agreement with LCMS Communications, and thank Pamela Nielsen because she has been a huge supporter. We're making all of this happen. We're using our internal house, the communications department, for all the editing, the copy editing, the typeset, and the layout. So the only cost that this is the mere cost of printing these. And I think for the books that we're doing, it's literally well under $2 per book. You can't photocopy this stuff for less. When we were doing color photocopies of the old alert manual, I believe it was something like $15 a piece, because by the time you do 100 double-sided color photos, and then you put the spiral bounding in it, it ends up being about $15. So for a fraction of the cost, we have a much better professionally edited quality material. So that all-in-one Mercy's Essays and Articles book will be coming out sometime in the middle of 2015. Another thing that I've been doing is keeping my ear to the ground. Remember, like the new pastor and his new call, you just kind of listen, you don't make any decisions, you don't rock the boat too much, you just kind of listen. One of the needs that I was hearing is for a children's camp. And let me explain what I mean by that. There are other organizations that have come up with a great idea, and it truly is a need for the children that are in a community after a time of a disaster, that have gone through a traumatic experience in their life and they're having problems dealing with it. And we kind of focus on taking care of the parents and the adult needs, and we kind of think, oh, well, let us help rebuild your house, let us get you into temporary housing. But a lot of times we forget children are going through crisis, and a lot of times it takes time for them to process this, and they're scared and they have nightmares. And we've been told multiple times that we need to be doing something for the children. So what we're coming out with is not AVBS, but it will be a 5-day Monday to Friday camp from about 9 to 3. We're still working out the details. And it will not be a VBS. However, it will be intentionally designed for children, elementary school aged, that have gone through a time of disaster. And it will have, for the leaders that are leading it, a way to convey how to comfort them through counseling, but also more importantly, how does the Word of God comfort these children? And since we're publishing it, we are making it distinctively LCMS so that there will be no pastor in Synod that will say, this is something that the Baptist or the ELCA is using and we're not very comfortable with this, or I'm spending too much time erasing out those Bible studies and rewriting Bible studies. It should be something that any LCMS pastor will be comfortable in. It'll be mentioning the catechism. It'll be mentioned baptism, their infant baptism. And if the Baptists don't want to use this, that's fine. The Baptists have their own stuff. The ELCA has their own camps. But this is something that it'll be to comfort confessional Lutheran children and hopefully children of the community as well, because children in the community need to also know that there is peace and comfort that is found in Jesus, that they also need to be baptized, that their sins need to be washed away, because there's a certain amount of peace that surpasses all understanding in the sacraments that God gives us. So I'm looking forward to that. We have an amazing writer that has decades of experience, literally, writing children's materials that we are working with, we're collaborating with, and we've also worked with counselors that have a lot of experience dealing with people in traumatic situations. So that's our children's camp material that will be out hopefully in very late spring so that churches can use it in the summer. And I realize that it might just be a dozen churches a summer that use it, but for those churches that need it, it will be very worth every single dime and every single minute that we put into it. Other resources that we are working on for next year is a Spanish translation of the Mercy in Action Guide for Pastors and also the Alert Manual. Now, I mentioned Spanish, but I hope all of our international guests hear this, and Pam might strangle me because I got a great idea. We would love to also make our materials available one way or another in other languages. And so please talk to me or Michael about putting it into other material in other languages. How to publish it, I'm not quite sure. But Pam will be able to talk to me about how you can do that in your own language, and she's already nervous. But it's a great idea, isn't it? To be able to take these great materials and to put it into our other church members' hands. Also, we have a plan to work on a devotional guide in times of tragedy. We've been using one, and we want to improve that so that when somebody is going through a disaster, that they are being comforted by God's word. And we heard from Alejandro yesterday and the pastors in Chile about how comforting it was just hearing scripture and a devotion. And people are so hungry for God's word in times of disaster. We want to write a new guide for people going through times of tragedy that will be specifically talking about natural and man-made disasters. And lastly, a pastor's care companion. We have an amazing one through LCMS, and you pastors, I'm sure, have used it extensively, so that in a time of an illness or at a dedication of a building or something, you have all the little pastoral help. And you have the scripture reference, you have a psalm, you have everything that you need at a flip of the page. Inside of it has a great thing for times of tragedy. But what we would love to have is something that's more specific, so that you could open something up and then instantaneously you have scripture readings, prayer specifically made for a hurricane, an earthquake, a flood, a natural, any type of a disaster, and it will be kind of spelled out. So that the pastor doesn't have to say, well, this might be better with this or this or this. And we're trying to make it as user-friendly as possible. Let me see today. So those are some of the things that we're going to be working on, and hopefully all of that will be out by the end of next year. The next thing is training events. Training events are something that we can specialize on. Just like this, we would consider a training event, bringing you guys in and training you on our new materials, the theology for mercy, case studies, networking, and bringing that capacity from around the world together all in one spot. New training events that we want to do. Training, regional training sessions by continent. These first two points, I'm really thinking internationally. We have in the past done training events for the Lutheran churches in Asia, where all of them will send a few representatives to one spot, and we teach a leadership team about how to respond in a time of disaster in our theology for mercy. And that's gone very, very well. But also we've done for a country, we've done a training event where we gather all the pastors in a pastor's conference type of a setting, and we talk about what is it to do counseling in a time of disaster? What is it to do self-care in a time of disaster as a spiritual caregiver? And also, what is our theology of mercy? What works and what doesn't work on the practical side of responding in times of disasters? So you international folks, that would be something I would love to talk to you about tonight and tomorrow, is would your country be interested in that? And would your region be interested in that? A couple of really exciting developments that we're doing. In the Philippines, in November, we've been invited. And LCMS Disaster Response is collaborating with Doxology. And on behalf of Doxology, Dr. Rick Mars, who is here, who will present, is going to go with me to the Philippines to do a one-week conference for their pastors and seminarians. Obviously, that church has been devastated by the hurricane that we heard about yesterday. And it's a great open door that we have now that that hurricane has all those pastors' attention of what is disaster response, but really the bulk of it is going to be Dr. Mars talking about counseling, self-care, helping others, what to do in times of crisis. We're going to put on that conference for an entire week. So we're excited to be able to do events like that. Also, we've developing something with the Lutheran Church in Chile. I was in Chile a few months ago, and I had this great idea. And so I was talking with President Christian. And we were talking back and forth and kind of developing it while we were out there. And what we're going to do in November for 10 days is bring, Chile is on the border of Argentina, fairly close to the Argentina Seminary. The Argentina Seminary is the main seminary for Spanish-speaking Lutherans. What we want to do is bring those seminarians to Chile for 10 days or so, and some of the professors and some of the pastors from Argentina to Chile, to Valparaiso, to the area that was burned out. Give them 3 days of instruction about what is the theology of mercy, what is the practical stuff like the Lurt, and then spiritual counseling in a time of crisis. And then for the remaining week, send them out as seminarians into the disaster area to actually do the work as part of their formation as future pastors. How exciting is it that God will be able to use that event? They will go back, finish their education, and part of their formative process was learning the theology of mercy, learning how to care for others, and then taking it to them all throughout Latin America and around Argentina to the congregations. It's a way that we are able to influence future pastors doing these type of creative conferences for pastors. Also, for you guys here that are in the United States that do LURT training, DDRCs, trainers, we want to do a LURT Train the Trainer event the first quarter of 2015. And what I mean by train the trainer is what we're finding is that some relationships we have are super strong with DDRCs and others are not as strong, or they feel detached from what we're doing in Synod, which I completely understand. So what we want to do is have a schedule where we would bring two or three trainers or a DDRC from two districts, maybe three districts at a time, fly into St. Louis on Sunday night, meet for breakfast in the morning and have lunch with you guys, talk about the new materials, answer questions, hear what's happening in your district, and also, good, I had to move, and also to give feedback to you so that we understand what's going on in your district, you understand what we're doing so that we can collaborate and work better together. I think that's only going to strengthen us as we work together as a collaborative team. New goals, I would love to have at least two LURT training events in every district. Some districts are doing them all the time. Some are not doing them at all. So it would be wonderful to have at least a couple events in 2015 in each district. Disaster response, to be invited, like I mentioned earlier, to pastors' conferences so that we can talk about the manual and get that into the hands of pastors to equip them. And the same with educators' conferences. It would be great to have at least a few LURT trainers in each district. I know some districts have a handful, others have one or none. So I'm really focusing here on districts that really don't have much in as far as district LURT trainers. It would be ideal if a LURT trainer was selected by the district president and the disaster response coordinator, that they've been to at least one of our LURT training events, because as we say in the Army, you kind of have to know what right looks like. And then secondly, to work with us in a train the trainer event where we can kind of guide you through the material. We don't want to say, oh, here's a book, go teach it, because that's intimidating. And secondly, we want to make sure that there's a standardization of LERT training across all the districts, that all the districts are doing it the same. And that's one reason why we have a standardized book and a PowerPoint presentation. One other thing that we were hearing constantly, especially from the lay people that were doing our LERT training, which is absolutely wonderful and fine, but they were feeling overwhelmed about talking about issues like the theology of the cross versus the theology of glory because there's fine distinctions. That's one of the reasons why we had those embedded videos. We have theologians and Pastor Harris and other people doing 3 to 4 minute conversations on some of those theological points so that we know that there's a consistent theological message being put out with all the LERT training. Goals for the program for next year is hopefully we'll have about 3,000 LCMS members that are LERT trained, have at least one district disaster response trailer in every district. That would be a trailer that is owned by a member, by a congregation, maybe a circuit went in together to put that together, maybe the district office bought that trailer. But that each district has the resources to be able to have the basic tools that are accessible and mobile at a time of a disaster so that they can get those tools to a disaster area, whether it's a hurricane or a flood or a tornado. Also, the goal is that districts would be self-contained, that districts would be able to organize disaster response crews within their own district. We find that one of the biggest difficulties is when volunteers want to help in Pilgrim, Nebraska, but they're from Florida. Well, in Pilgrim, Nebraska, there's no homes, no shelter, no apartments for them to stay in. Trying to get temporary dorms takes forever to be licensed by the city, to be certified. The best volunteers are volunteers that live within 90 minutes of where that disaster is, because they can drive home, sleep in their own bed, take a shower, and be refreshed and come back the next day or the next weekend, whatever it be. Having districts being able to respond and taking care of their own disasters is ideal. Obviously, when Superstorm Sandy comes to you, or when a Hurricane Katrina comes, of course, that's more than a regionalized flood or tornado. But for most of the disasters, it would be great to have the disaster response team within that own district, to have the resources and the people to respond to their own disasters. One of the issues that we've been hearing about for months is we need a way of communicating within our own district with the people that are trained LERT members. So when a disaster strikes, that the district president or the DDRC can then contact those people. We're putting together and uploading all the LERT sheets into Church 360. What that means is when you fill out the certification and the skills and needs assessment, we're trying to put that in and categorize it by district so that we'll have some form of a basic database that the DDRC or the district president or the representative would be able to access to be able to call up volunteers that are within their district. And we also want to be able to use our disaster response Facebook page to be able to notify people within a district who to contact and when to do that. If you're not subscribed and liked LCMS Disaster Response, please do that so we can communicate with you. Last thing is, we would love to do at least a few international training events, like I mentioned earlier, every single year. How we're funded, and this is my last slide. And somebody said yesterday that the first slide and the last slide are always the best. So I hope you enjoy this one before we break. And that is, it's a reminder that LCMS Disaster Response takes no U.S. funding from the government. We intentionally do that because we do not want our Christian voice to be silenced in any way. We don't want strings to be attached to the money. We don't want to get funds and they say, well, if you do this, you cannot evangelize, proselytize, share the gospel, have Bible verses on the side of your cars. You can't refer people to the church. The pastor can't contact them. We don't want any of that. We want no strings attached to the mercy work that we are doing. And usually when you join groups and government and get their funds, there's almost always strings attached. What we get a small portion of our funding through Lutheran organization, LWML grants for doing training events similar to this. But the vast majority, 99% of all the monies that we have, does not come to us through Synod Inc., as Pastor Harrison said. None of it comes from your offering plates through the district to LCMS. All of the monies that we respond to disasters with are directly coming from congregations like yours and individual people in the Missouri Synod like you. And that gives us the funds to be able to put into disasters. Every year, we receive somewhere between $3 to $5 million, depending on if we get a catastrophic event or not. And that's another way that we bring that capacity to your event. Quite honestly, there's some disasters that need a lot of response, and we don't receive that many funds for. But we still give more sometimes to that disaster than we ever took in. And that's because people want to generously donate to LCMS disaster response. And one shameless plug, please consider, just as your church gives money to missionaries and missions and other activities around the world and around Synod, of giving a few hundred or a few thousand dollars a year to disaster response. Because all those $200 a month, $200 a year adds up to $3 to $5 million, so that we can do all the mercy work that you're seeing today and you're hearing about this week. Well, I don't want to belabor this, and I don't want to cut into your lunch, because that's probably one of the highlights of your day if you're like me. So I want to close by reminding you that we are going to meet for our next session at 1 o'clock. If you have questions about the stuff that I mentioned in my slides, please feel free to talk to me. Now that I'm done with my two presentations, I have a whole lot less stress on me, and I feel like weight is lifted. I don't think I've said any heresy. I will not lose my position. My children will not go homeless. So please spend time. Also, tonight, I know it might be a little bit inconvenient, it's our last evening together. We have a reception, wine and cheese, tonight. I believe that starts at, is it 6 o'clock, Michael? 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. And it's a great time of fellowship together. You'll be able to meet and greet the OIM staff, the international staff. They'll be able to give some guidance to you that have questions about what are we doing internationally. It's just a great time to mingle. I'll be there. I'll be available. I'd love to talk to you guys about this. Thank you very much.